Hi, I'm Luke Cassidy and welcome to It All Works Out, a podcast series from the Lust for Life, where the Leavenser class of COVID-19 talk about the emotional fallout from what's been a crazy year and the uncertainty of what's to come. Uncertainty was the word of the Leavenser 2020 saga. In fact, if you think back to those weeks, you'll probably remember seeing it mentioned online and on the radio and TV every single day. As soon as schools closed, the questions and concerns started to form in everyone's minds. How long will we be off? Will online learning actually work? What if you can't sit the Leaving Cert? What could they even replace the Leaving Cert with? Is predicted grades fair? Will I get my place in college now? The weeks leading up to the announcement that the Leaving Cert would be cancelled were really tough on most of us members of the class for COVID-19, because we didn't have a clue what was going on. All we had were articles and news reports filled with rumours, leaks and suggestions, and a load of mams commenting on Facebook and Twitter who knew exactly what was and wasn't going to happen. All we could do was sit at home and try to motivate ourselves to do a little bit of study and log into the odd Zoom class every day, not knowing when, how, or even if the Leaving Cert was going to happen. When the announcement came that the Leaving Cert was cancelled, there was a great initial sense of relief. But for many, the system of predicted grades still brings great uncertainty, and plenty of uncertainty still hangs over the opening of colleges and universities. In this episode of It All Works Out, we'll talk to the class of COVID-19 about the effects of uncertainty, and psychologist Ashley Leonard-Curtin about how we can cope with it.
Uncertainty in any situation is stressful and worrying for anyone, especially when it's something like the Leaving Cert that, you know, like you've been preparing for. And
this is Alicia.
You've known that it's going to be a very set way from the day you step foot into secondary school. So for that all to change in a matter of weeks and a matter of days is scary. And I suppose the uncertainty then around different messages being sent is, you know, from the government or from the departments or whatever is, and around Twitter with media, you know, that can cause more. So I suppose it was stressful. I think I dealt with it as best as I could. I tried to just take every day as it was because it changed like every 5 seconds. But yeah, there obviously was a lot of students who found it very, very difficult.
When I think about that time period after the schools closed and using that word uncertainty, we all describe it as stressful, but it was just that vicious cycle of looking at the books, getting up, pulling yourself out of bed every day.
Over to Connor.
Then constantly looking at the news to see if there was any glimmer of hope of salvation at all, that we would be saved from all this craziness and uncertainty. The weeks of pulling myself out of bed to get up and look at the feckin' biology and look at the French, it was a struggle, and it was a struggle for us all. But dealing with the uncertainty, how I channeled it was by saying, look, putting a healthy amount of distance there, this is now a war of attrition, and it's not the sprint that we had once thought it was, in that the exams were going to be coming as close to a deadline as possible. The sprint was now turned into a marathon. I'd say the majority of students probably took that mindset on board, because anyone that remained with a sprint attitude after in those weeks of uncertainty fueled with the intensity just leads to burnout. And the healthy sort of distance relationship with the Leaving Cert that can sometimes get muddled up, like, you know, that the Leaving Cert is the be all and end all, and we say that every year that it's not, but it can get muddled up when you're doing the feckin' thing. Coping during those weeks of uncertainty was understanding and putting distance there so that I can maintain myself for this marathon. When I think of the outcome of the exams and seeing the exams, getting the results, the reward for the process didn't actually outweigh the stressing for it at that stage. It was disproportionate. Why are we going to, you're not going to do anything if the reward doesn't equal or exceed the level of input and the effort required for the task. So when people are like, why are these students being so disillusioned? And why are they so stressed and sure get on with it? Like, then they're bullshitting. Because if they were put in that exact same situation, they would have the exact same response, because it's human nature and it's intrinsic.
The uncertainty of what would happen to the Leaving Cert just drained me of all motivation.
This is Ellen.
because it got to a point, especially after the orals were cancelled, it got to a point where I didn't even know if I was studying for anything, because that's when the talks of cancelling the Leaving Cert came in. But then it was definitely more young people were advocating for cancelling the Leaving Cert while the government wanted to, by hook or by crook, continue with it. But then there was still all the uncertainty of how it would go. So then I think the uncertainty caused a lot of anxiety in me, and I think it also caused a lot of anxiety amongst my friends, which in some ways was helpful, because then we could sort of vent together and complaining about such and such online classes and what, like, if we were going to have exams at all. But I also think it sort of fed into our anxiety as well, because we were all just speculating about what would happen, and we all had different opinions on what would happen, which then led just to more uncertainty and more anxiety.
This is Jamesy.
It was actually very mentally tough, because the uncertainty of when will the Leaving Cert be, will it take place, what's the story with school, how am I going to get a job, how am I going to move on, it was actually very mentally tough, because all this pressure was being put on yourself, and to be honest, I didn't really know how to deal with it. What happened was, when we got the news, like, we were happy like that school was finished, but we didn't realise, like, all these stuff was being cancelled, the Leaving Cert, and it was actually tough on us. So at home we were kind of putting stress on ourselves, and my family could see that, and they were trying to help. And then it was kind of like, it was tough for me to be doing this and then trying to get help and stuff, so it was hard. But I was talking to a few lads from school as well, we tried to keep active with them, but they said they were going through the same thing. And then with the online learning there, it was actually very tough for them as well, they were talking. So that's what the feedback, I was kind of asking for feedback off lads that was going through the same thing. But another thing, actually, I left out. During that period, my anxiety was gone through the roof. actually just very worried, anxious, and it was a very mentally tough time. For looking forward to the future, like, you have to get a job and stuff. And that was actually very worrying, because you didn't know if you could get one now, like.
It kind of, the uncertainty didn't really kick in for a couple of weeks.
Over to Sean.
The general kind of consensus with everybody was that within a few weeks, we would be back in school. We would be sitting our orals before Easter, and that there wouldn't really, you know, this wasn't going to disrupt things too much. You know, it might be a month at most. Nobody told us that you will never set foot back in secondary school again. So I don't think it was really until the week leading up to Easter, I'd say, that I started to feel, you know, uncertainty. You kind of just thought this will be over quick enough, a few weeks of hardship, and we'll be back into school. It had a big impact on me trying to study and my schoolwork, because it was very hard to motivate myself to study for an exam that I didn't think was going to happen. I didn't think could happen. I didn't know when, if it was going to happen, when it would happen. So it kind of became not impossible to study, but very hard. You know, I had a few arguments with the mother about whether it should be called off or not.
Now we're facing a whole new raft of uncertainties. The biggest one looming over us once the Leaving Cert was cancelled was how the hell predicted grades were going to work out.
My mom was trying to sell my Leaving Cert books, and I was like, I could still be sitting a maths exam in a couple of months. She was like, really, Alicia? I was like, you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, just personally, I've been through enough the last few months with everything going on to have to think about sitting an exam in a couple of months now. I think it's an unlikely situation for me anyway. And again, like, I am uncertain about my points and my results, because, yeah, I did pretty well, like, consistently for, like, you know, no one's going to be going for a course that is way out of reach, that they know just is absolutely not achievable. So making sure you have backup plans that you're comfortable with and that you're happy with is the most important thing, because there's no point, you know, when CEO comes around, like, being disappointed or anything like that. Just making sure that you have good plans in place, I think, is the most important thing.
I'm apprehensive, as we all are, as to results, as you would be in general.
Connor again.
It is a new process, and I suppose it speaks to something deeper. I know this is just one example, but, like, when you're faced with that sort of uncertainty, you know, there's a certain amount of things that are outside of our control, and you just got to hold on to the things that you're in control of. And it becomes this conversation of what can I do to minimize the amount of stress, because there's a certain level of stress that is there naturally, but there's a certain amount of stress that I can control and that I can limit myself. What we have, it's the best we got, so I have to trust in the processes. If I don't get the results and don't get the points, that's another bridge to cross then. We get to that when we have to cross it. But for right now, the position, that the limbo that we find ourselves in, it's out of our hands, you know? So it comes back to an overarching narrative of not living your life in moments and seeing. And I know we said that the uncertainty took away from the bigger picture, but it's seeing the even bigger picture of your life, your emotional well-being and your state of mind.
Yes, I think definitely calculated graves were the best option, but we definitely shifted from one type of uncertainty to another.
Again, Ellen.
We were taking away the control we had over our results, because now it wasn't about exams that we were going to do over a month. It was work we had done over 2 years. And that sort of created a sort of different post-mortem rather than exams. It's your entire education, and you're wondering how, if your relationships with teachers would have affected anything and the different tests you've done. So then that created uncertainty, because we weren't sure how we were going to end up in August, because there's no exam to base it off of.
Over to Jamesy.
I'd be worried about the calculated grades in case anything like wasn't done properly or stuff like. But other than that, like, you'd be a bit worried about your future as well with the COVID and stuff. So, because the COVID's not gone, like. So, like, it's not gone yet. So it's actually very worrying about the future and if it's going to stay, like, if that makes sense.
Sean again.
I feel like uncertainty, but it's not nervous uncertainty, because there's kind of an element I can't do anything about it. You know, I could sit at home, you know, stressing about it for the next however long, you know, 2 months or whatever it is until the grades come out, but it's not going to change anything. You know, it's not based on anything. It's based on stuff that I've done, but it's not based on an exam that I have to study for. It's out of my hands at this stage. I'd feel a lot more uncertainty about college life and what is going to happen with college life, both with predicted grades and with, you know, the coronavirus in general, with a second wave of it or something happening.
I spoke to psychologist Ashley Leonard-Curtin about the whole idea of coping with uncertainty from a psychological perspective.
My name is Ashley Leonard-Curtin and I'm a chartered psychologist, and I'm co-director of Act Now Purposeful Living and co-author of a self-care book called The Power of Small. So I specialise, as you said, in acceptance and commitment therapy, and it's often shortened to the word ACT. There's two sides of ACT. It's a little bit like the Serenity Challenge, so the Serenity Prayer outside a religious context. So learning the skills to accept the things you cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And as you and I know, Luke, there's been plenty of opportunity for that over the last few months, to put it mildly. Well, I think the tough thing for yourself, Luke, and so many other Leaving Cert students is that, you know, probably since you were in junior infants, you've been fed this story that the Leaving Cert is the most important thing in your life and that it affects everything that comes afterwards. And I'm not saying that that isn't the case, because obviously, you know, how we do in our Leaving Cert does affect what we do afterwards. However, I think sometimes because we've been fed this story around how pinnacle the Leaving Cert is, then when something like this year happens with COVID and everything gets thrown up in the air, it can really leave you in a bit of a head spin, because this story or this narrative that you've been spun by teachers, parents, you know, all so many people. It's like, well, if this is one of the most important things, and it might be happening, it might not be happening, it might be happening this way, no, it's not happening, no, there's predictive grades, no, you could redo it another time. It's really hard to kind of get a sense of kind of groundedness. And I would say from an ACT perspective, it's around really looking at, okay, what's inside your control and what's outside your control. And there's been so much outside our control. But what sometimes happens is when some things are outside our control, then we lose contact with what is within our control. And the things that are inside in our control are, I suppose, what our values are, how we respond to ourselves and others, and so forth. And really, that's the piece here, because sometimes when things are outside our control, maybe we start to do things that actually bring us further away from who and where we want to be. So maybe we start isolating ourselves, we might start pushing other people away, we might start lashing out or what have you. And it's really around, can we recognize that there are other people who are in the same soup together, and we can lose contact with that. So there's a common humanity here. And then around, well, what can I do to make the most of the situation that I'm in? Of course, I would have, well, maybe some people are happy with the way things ran out, but there's probably many people who are not. And it's like, well, I didn't choose this, but now that this is what the case is, well, how do I make the best of this?
In her book, The Power of Small, Aisling talks about the small actions we can take that can have a big effect. I asked her, what small actions do you think the class of COVID-19 should take to help them with their emotional well-being?
I suppose the way that we look at it is that like all of our small actions build up, and they either lead to us kind of feeling like we're stuck and like our comfort zone is getting smaller, or they build up to letting us feel like we're kind of unstuck and like our comfort zone is getting bigger. So one of the first things that I think is really important is a small thing that you can do is actually take time to actually say, well, what are my values? What is most important to me? So a question you could say is like, okay, if I was to look back at this, and I know some people doing their Leaving Cert might be older, but most people kind of are under 21. So if you were to kind of think, okay, if it was on my 21st birthday and I was to look back at how I responded in COVID-19, what qualities would I like to say that I embodied? So do I want to be kind of friendly? Do I want to be compassionate? Do I want to be kind? Do I want to be adventurous? You know, like what are the qualities that you want to embody? So that's one thing, is around connecting with the values. And another small thing is then just for 5 minutes a day, say, look, honestly and gently reflecting, just for today, like what actions help bring me toward embodying these values, these characteristics are important to me, and what things brought me further away. So that would be a second thing. The third thing, which I think for many of us can be the most challenging, is to make some space each day for our unwanted emotions. So there is a lot of, quite frankly, BS out there around like that you should be positive all the time. And actually what the research shows is that there is a tyranny to positivity. And if you're trying to just feel positive all the time, like be happy, be calm, cool and collected, that actually is detrimental to your mental health and well-being. So can you allow yourself space each day to feel the unwanted feelings that you're feeling? So, you know, it's more normal and natural to feel anxious in the situation that we find ourselves in than to feel calm. And it's more normal and natural to feel sad around maybe things that you might have thought, like having, you know, graduations or what have you, and them not happening. And sometimes people will say stuff to you, oh, like, don't worry about it, or it could be worse, or, you know, and try to point out what could be worse about this, or other people have it worse than you. That may be true. And at the same time, sometimes just to validate your own sadness, it's okay to feel sad around things that you're missing. So to give yourself space to feel your emotions, and if possible, to share some of those emotions with other peers, because, like, for example, Luke, if you tell a friend of yours that you're feeling sad or anxious, it kind of gives your friend the permission to let you know if they're feeling sad or anxious too. Does that make sense? So those are the three things that I think, small things that could make a big difference.
It's important for us to find out where we have power to control things and where we don't. Many Leaving Certs have felt completely powerless this year. I asked Aisling how we can take back control of our lives.
The more time and energy we put into trying to control the aspects that are outside of our life, the less time and energy we've got left for other areas in our life. So, for example, it's very tempting, and by the way, I'll put my hands up and say I've totally done this myself, is to kind of go into, well, it should have been this, or it could have been that, or if only it was that, or this is terrible, or it's all gone to insert expletive now because this has happened. And that's very, very tempting. However, when we put a lot of time and energy into trying to control things that are completely outside of our control, we lose contact to bring the power back. And we can bring our power back by choosing to do things that are affirming and that are values guided for us. So that might be, you know, getting out in the fresh air, if that's possible for us to do so, connecting in with friends, checking, are there some online courses around things that I'm interested in doing? Because I know a lot of Leaving Cert students as well would often be getting summer jobs, and that they can be harder to get at the moment, and that. So it might be like, okay, well, I can still apply for summer jobs. If I don't get them, what are other skills that I'd like to learn? Are there other ways that I'd like to communicate? Would I like to learn a new language? Like, what are things that I could do that would feel like they're actually going to be worthwhile? And, you know, things are going to shift and change. There will be times to probably go into railing, and I don't know what you'd call them, another usually Leaving Cert holidays. But, you know, there are going to be chances to do these things down the line, I'm guessing, you know. So what are things that we can do that give us a sense of kind of fulfillment as well? And I suppose there are so many different platforms as well where we can learn skills that can actually help us with our mental health. And I would say that that will be kind of more important for Leaving Certs now than ever. And like A Lust for Life obviously does that, and there are other apps that people really like Headspace and Calm and so forth. So, but we run into trouble when we're trying to control our unwanted thoughts and emotions, because what we know is that the more time and energy we spend trying not to feel sad, the more likely we are to experience depression. The more time and energy we spend trying not to feel anxious, the more likely we are to develop a clinically diagnosable anxiety disorder. So really this is just around allowing ourselves to feel what we're feeling and say, well, while there are certain things on the Leaving Cert that are outside of our power and control, there are many, many things that are options that are still available to us.
Finally, I asked Aisling, how can we get to know what our values are?
For people who are at Leaving Cert age, and if they're looking at their values, they're already ahead of the curve. So there's a few different ways of asking what your values are. Because if you say, like, what are my values? Sometimes you get caught up in, like, this kind of compare bear, or like, oh, well, what would Luke like to hear my values are, or something. And it kind of gets into that kind of saying what you think people want to hear rather than what's actually true for you. So like that question that I asked earlier on about, like, at your 21st birthday, if you were to look at how you responded in COVID, what characteristics do you want to embody? That would be one. Another one would be that if one of your friends was describing you, what words would you like them to be able to use to describe you and the kind of friend that you were for the time, the good times and the challenging times or what have you. Another piece is that if your life was about kind of just three or four or five things, what would you like it to be about? Would you like it to be about creativity? Would you like it to be about connection? What do you want to be the bedrock of your life? It's kind of like the foundations on which everything else comes. And I think that's the tough thing, as you say, is because the Leaving Cert is so prescribed that there isn't really room so much for kind of talking about values and everything, because there's a curriculum to go through and all the rest of it. However, even with the Leaving Cert, or like with, if people are going to hoping to go into college or going into work, why is this important to me? And if you connect to why it's important and valuable to you, it's going to make it easier. And for any college course or any work path, you know, there'll be times where the clock goes off in the morning and the first thought isn't going to be like, oh, wonderful, this is great because I've chosen my valued thing, I want to jump out of bed. Sometimes we'll think, oh, I just love to just roll over and press the snooze button. And sometimes we even will press the snooze button. Yet if we connect with why it's important to us, we're probably less likely to press the snooze button quite as often. Does that make sense? I think what will be really helpful for Leaving Cert students is to kind of maybe notice all of the different kind of rules or ideas that they have around their need for certainty. So like there might be these rules around, well, like if this happens with college, it'll be a disaster, or if I don't get to start at such a time, or it, you know, a lot of people say, you know, well, if I just don't get into the college course that I wanted, there's just no point in anything or what have you. So to recognize what are all these rules that we kind of get kind of caught up in, and then to notice them and just kind of put a phrase like, okay, I'm having the thought that, or I'm having the judgment that, and to recognize that just because we have a thought, regardless of whether it's true or not true, that when we become blinkered by that thought, sometimes it can dictate our actions in ways that are not helpful. So to kind of make a divide between the thoughts that we're thinking and the emotions that we're having and our actions, so that our thoughts and our emotions are not what dictate our actions, that the people take that moment to kind of ground in the breath, in their body, in what's important, and allow that to guide their actions. And I think that's something that's really important. And it's even interesting because I'm learning Spanish. That's been one of my COVID things, Luke. It started a little bit, but I'm Duolingo, doing a bit of Spanish every day. And it's really interesting because in Spanish they have two different verbs for, you know, I am, you are, or what have you. And there's one way that you say, like, I am Irish, or, you know, what have you. And then there's another way of saying I am tired, or I am anxious, because I'm tired or I am anxious is seen as a temporary way of feeling. So it's a different way of saying I am to, like, I am Irish, which is permanent, like that even if both of us leave Ireland or whatever, we'd always have that Irish within us. And I think sometimes we forget, because we say something like I am Irish to be as true and permanent as something like I am anxious. And I think for Leaving Cert students to remember that no matter how bad we are feeling, that it is not a permanent state that we are in. and that it's actually fighting how we're feeling that often is what exacerbates it and makes it more challenging. Things all can all work out, yet sometimes they don't work out in the way that we think that they will, or it's kind of different. I decided when I was just kind of going into second year or third, I'd say it was probably about second year, that I really wanted to do psychology. And for me, it was after having a traumatic event in my own life that I was in a bad car accident that my younger brother died in. And before that, I had no idea what I wanted to do, but I figured out, I was like, and I suppose it kind of ties into this piece, like, as in, you know, nobody's going to choose that COVID happened during their leaving cert. And I certainly would never have chosen at 14 that my 11-year-old brother would have died in a car accident. And then I realized, I was like, if I can find some purpose and meaning out of this horrible experience that I never would have wished for, it would be helping other people to find purpose and meaning in parts of their life that they never would have chosen. And for me, it was really clear that that was psychology. And I remember I worked really hard for my leaving cert. I did extra homework for different classes and stuff like that and got a grade because I really wanted to get a certain amount of points. And I remember when I got my points, I cried because while it was a good leaving cert by any manner of means, I knew it wasn't what I need to get into psychology. But there was like most things, there's often a back door around things. So I knew in Maynooth that if you were in the top 60 in arts, which I had the points for, that you could compete for 15 places in psychology. So that's the way that I did. And at the time it was like, oh, this is terrible. But actually it worked out much better for me in the long run because my first year transcripts were what I needed to get in second year. My second year transcripts were worth 40% and my third year transcripts were worth 60%. So then when I wanted to go in to do a postgraduate in psychology, my transcripts were much better than if I had just gotten a job. If I'd just gotten straight into psychology, I probably would have taken it for granted in a little bit of a way. So I'm really grateful now that that's the way that it worked out. But if you'd said it to me on the day, I remember having that thought of like, oh, this is terrible. This is the worst. It's not going to work out. And that's why when you asked me about the one piece of guidance, it's like just taking what our mind says and what our feelings are with a grain of salt, definitely give them compassion and just recognize that there are things that are available to us that we might not see in this moment. However, if we're willing to ground ourselves and connect and kind of take in information that'll be helpful for us, we will find it.
I suppose if we've learned one thing from this whole disaster, it's one of life's most important lessons: coping with uncertainty. Learning about focusing on what we can control and letting go of what we can't is really important in building our resilience for a lifetime of ups and downs, just like this. You've been listening to It All Works Out, hosted and produced by myself, Luke Casterly, along with the team at A Lust for Life. A big thanks to the class of COVID-19 and our guests who shared their stories and expertise. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media, rate and review it, and tell a friend who needs to hear it too.